any defeat. Now, you've had your bad whenever you had your bad, but because you are walking through the desert, you are walking through the muddy places, you will pick up what? Death. And that's why defeat needs to be washed. Now, there's a physical application there, but there's a spiritual principle. Hallelujah. We have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Amen. But as we walk through life, we pick up stuff. Hallelujah. We pick up what? Stuff. Yes, you are saved. You are born again. But as you walk through life, it may be a nasty word somebody said. It just comes like a stain on your spirit. Something that contaminates or corrupts. The word is full of decay and corruption. Yeah? It's not just financial corruption. There's spiritual corruption as you interact. Every time you come into the presence of God, His word washes you and makes you clean. That's why you can't make it without Him. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Let us pray. Talk to God this morning and say, Father, I'm here in your presence. I want to see you. And how do you see God? Through His word. I pray that you give me insight and understanding into your word today. I'm not here to listen to a sermon. I'm here to receive the word of life that can transform me. I don't want to remain the same. I don't. Because as a believer, I'm supposed to be moving from glory to glory. That's transformation. Father, let your word comfort with clarity, with power and anointing. Let that word sink into my mind and from my mind to my spirit, that it will transform me so that my life will move forward. That's my destiny. Thank you, Father, for this. Divine Holy Spirit, thank you because you are here. And thank you because you have all the freedom to do your work in our lives this morning. So just move freely. Let yokes be destroyed. Let burdens be removed. Let chains be broken. Let the people of God be set free to worship God in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for in Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. And the church said? Amen. Okay, today's topic is what? Let's say it together. Life in the Spirit. I wish I had all the time in the world and just continue to preach in this message. Life in the Spirit. If you can get it, that's it. You are done. You are okay. Hallelujah. If you can understand life in the Spirit, you are what? You are okay. Amen. Before we go there, let me give you some preamble. Open your Bible to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Let's read it. Again, I've not gone into the message. These are just preambles. Now, why do I do this? Because sometimes you just have to release yourself and let the Holy Spirit take you like the wind. And the Bible says the wind is blowing and nobody knows where it's going. So just yield. John chapter 10. This was, I'm releasing this for somebody here today. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. Hallelujah. John chapter 10, verse 10. Can we read it together? John chapter 10, verse 10. You ready? Let's go. Hallelujah. It is not God that is trying to take away your joy. Are you with me? And that is why you have no business running away from God. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're going through, no matter what is going on, God is the solution. Hallelujah. He is the master key. Hallelujah. He is the master key to everything. In fact, there's no us bad with God. God is not your enemy in any part of your life. And you don't have any business distrusting God. You have every reason to trust God with every part of your life. Because His purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. His purpose is to give you life to the full. Hallelujah. His purpose is to give you abundant and eternal life. Life that overflows. Life that has no ending. Life that has no limit. Life that cannot be overcome by the power of darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why in his presence is fullness of joy. You see, there you can set into your heart that God is forever committed to my progress. You know what David said? He said, even if my father and my mother forsake me, he's not saying they would, but if they do, yet God will not. Hallelujah. You know why? You know why? Even if your parents forsake you, God will not. Because he was the one that gave you to them. Hallelujah. They didn't have any say. Oh yes, they were part of the physical process, but who determined that it was going to be you? It doesn't matter even the circumstances of your birth. You did not happen without God stamping and say, yes, you cannot go. Hallelujah. And the reason why God sent you this word first and foremost is because he has a plan for your life. Do you understand? Let me explain to you. You see, if there is a person, then that means they can make decisions. So if God is a person, then God has a purpose and a plan. You see, you must not see God as abstract. Oh, okay. When I have needs, God, my needs, stamp, mom. When I have trouble, God, this. God has his own purpose and his own plan. Did you have a purpose? You have a purpose, yeah? You have something you want to do, yeah, with your life. God has a plan. And he has what? A purpose. Amen? It's like that new car. No matter the plan of the new part, you have a plan for it. Hallelujah. That's where you got it. Hallelujah. And it will fulfill that plan. Otherwise, you will change it to a better one. Glory to God. It means that before God released you into this world, God has a plan for your life. Now, what I need to explain to you is not just the plan, but I want you to understand that. I want you to understand the nature of that plan. Because once you can settle it, then you are ready to go on that journey with God. But when there's still that unbelief and distrust about God, you know, does God want to steal my life? Does he want to take my life? Does he want to take something so it's so dear to me? You know, then you can't follow God. But once you understand the plan of God, you are ready for the journey. Jeremiah chapter 29. Let's go there. I've not entered the message, but again, these are very important things the Spirit is saying to someone this morning. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Are you there? Again, let's just read this together. Let's go. I'll read it from New Living Translation. It says, for I know the plans. So God has plans for you. Say, God has plans for me. Therefore, I'm located. Have you ever been driving and you were lost and then you put the sat nav on and then finally he said, turn left and turn right. You are located. Everything is settled. Say, you know that you're okay. You're going somewhere. Hallelujah. Then you're just going around the roundabout over and over and over again. Anybody been there? I'm located because God has a plan for my life. You know what? But that's not what excites me most. What excites me is what I read. He said, these plans I have for you. They are plans of what? Let me read that. It says, the plan that I have for you, they are plans for good and not for disaster. You know what that means? It means that if I trust God with my life and I follow him on the path he's leading me, yeah? The end
cannot be disaster.
You see, when I start that journey with God, it may not look like I'm going somewhere. Because God has seen the end and I've not seen it. You know he has seen the end. You know how you can prove that God has seen the end? Because he is Alpha and what? Omega. He has seen the end because he is the end. Hallelujah. So God has seen where he wants to take you to before he ever called you to start the journey. Nothing ever occurs to God. Do you understand that? You know, and it occurred to God that, you know, Sister Yolanda is going to Bristol tomorrow. Nothing occurs to God. Hallelujah. Before it ever came to light, he has seen it. Hallelujah. He is the end. Hallelujah. So when you follow God on the journey and you trust him, you can be certain that that end will not be disaster. For today, it may not look like it's hardening up. That's why you need faith. Hallelujah. You see, God is a faith God. God is what? Faith God. Have you ever thought about it? I'm thinking now. Have you ever thought about it that? Because God is, we say God is so big, God is so mighty, so God is almighty. Let God just reveal himself. And all the questions will be settled. Everybody will believe, there will be no doubt, everything will be okay. Why did God not show himself? Why does he remain invisible? Yeah? Because God is a faith God. Hallelujah. God is a faith God. The way you contact God is through your faith. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God is a spirit. And those who worship him, how do they worship? In spirit and in truth. You got to use your faith. That's why the Bible says that the just shall live. By what? By faith. And the Bible says that whatever is not of faith is what? Sin. Any time that God leads you on your journey and then you're following, then maybe along the line you start being too careful. You start being too careful. You're not taking too many extra precautions. You begin to stop. Fear takes over. Yeah? Fear takes over. Hallelujah. And where fear rules, Satan can enter. Hello? Let me explain something about Satan. I'm not going to my message. The Bible describes for us perfectly how Satan behaves. It says he's a serpent. Satan is what? A serpent. Yeah? But you see, you can keep the serpent out of your house. Amen. Are you with me? You can what? You can keep the serpent out of your house. You just need to keep the edge in shape. And if the edge is broken, you need to mend it as quickly as... God never said that, you know, the edge must never be broken. It can be broken. Remember, you're walking through the world, you pick up what? There. But as soon as the edge is broken, what do you need to do? Mend it. Then you keep Satan what? Out. That's what the Bible says. He said, be sober and be vigilant. Because you have an adversary, the devil. He's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. Yeah? But the Bible says that you have to resist him steadfastly. No, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't capitulate. Capitulate means you just let, okay, this pressure is just too much. This pressure is just too much. I'm just fed up and I give in. Don't give in. Let me tell you something. When your miracle, yeah? The quality of your miracle determines the quality of your pressure. When there's a big miracle on your way, you will face big pressure. When there's something great that God wants to do in your life, or God sent you on a journey to something great, you will face more pressure than if it was something little. Are you understanding me? Because Satan is a spirit too. Yeah? And he has a way of, you know, eavesdropping about God's plan. Do you understand? And when Satan already sees that, oh, what God wants to bring out in your life is this. It will put what? Pressure upon pressure upon pressure. You know why? He wants you to capitulate and give in and give up. Just accept and submit. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Say, I live by faith. Therefore, I'm a winner. You know what the Bible says? Bible says something, he said, to him that believes. Nothing shall be impossible. I think they have a very strong statement in the Bible that, you know, when you read it, it's like you didn't read it. He said to him that believed, nothing. So, yeah, you may be going through life. Some people may not like, you know, the color of your skin or the shape of your face or your height, whether you are too short or too tall. Some people may not like the color of your dress. Some people may not like the tone of your voice. Some people may just not like you because you are succeeding even. Are you with me? But life does not depend on them if you have faith. Hallelujah. If you have faith, Bible says if you have faith, even like as small as a mustard seed, what will you do? You will say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Whether that mountain likes you or not, it must, Bible says, it will move. It must move. Hallelujah. It must move. It must what? It must move. You know why it must move? Because God's word cannot be broken. Hallelujah. Well, as I'm saying that, I want to remind you something. God's word cannot be broken. But you are a human being. You can be broken. Hello? So the key to your not being broken is to hold firmly to the word. Embrace it. Hold tightly to it. It's God's word that cannot be broken, but you can be broken. You see what I mean? And when you disengage from the word, you are exposed. Are you with me? And to hold tightly to the word, you need to continue to live by faith. You see, faith involves perseverance. Do you understand? Have you ever thought about it? You know, you don't build a car in one day. You go through a process, yeah? And then the car is ready. So also, there are many things that you are trusting God to do in your life, but they seem not to be happening immediately. But hold on tightly. Hallelujah. Because he knows the plan that he has towards you. I'm located. Hallelujah. I'm located. Let me tell you who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of the King. I'm a citizen of heaven. My Father is God. Hallelujah. That's who I am. It doesn't matter whether I'm in Basingstoke or in Guildford. Whether I'm in UK or in Nigeria, or if I migrate to Canada. I'm what? I'm a son of my Father God. Hallelujah. That's who you are. And God has you in mind because he has a plan for your life. Satan may fight and push to derail that plan. Well, if you hold on tightly to the word and you continue to live by faith, yeah, God's plan will come to fulfillment. Let me now give you one test that you know God's plan before I go into the sermon today. Anything that is the plan of God for your life must bring glory to God. Are you with me? Listen, I don't care what your achievement is. I don't care, you know, whether you are celebrated or you are a celebrity, doesn't bother me. If anything in your life is not bringing glory to God, that thing is not the plan of God. Are you with me? Hello? Your life is to bring glory to God. That's how you measure your progress. Is anything you've achieved and anything you have, whether directly or indirectly, should contribute to the advancement of God's plan. Amen. Whether directly or what? Indirectly. Glory to God. I said the Lord is good. And all the time, the Lord. Sorry, I just stay on that place a little bit more and go in. I want you to understand that if you are in Christ, yeah, you are located. You are not an accident going somewhere to happen. Are you with me? It doesn't matter what
the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what the law is. It doesn't matter what the people are. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past. If you are in Christ, you are located. You know why? Because it's your Father God that made the heavens and the earth. Yeah? So you're a legal occupant. Any other person not in Christ is a migrant. But you are what? The owner of the land. Amen. Do you know the end of our faith? I know, of course, most of us, you know, the thought is that, you know, when Christians die, where do they go? They go to heaven. But do you know the final plan of God, the eternal plan of God? The heaven that Christians go to now is a temporary plan. Because the final plan, that at the end of time, Satan, when his time is up, because Satan has the right to be here. Do you know that? He has the right to operate. In fact, Bible calls him the prince of this world. Bible calls him the ruler of this world. Bible calls Satan the god of this world. He calls him the god of this age. You know why he has the right to operate? Because Adam gave it to him. God told Moses, have dominion. Yeah? Then when he sinned, dominion transferred. But thank God, because we're in Christ. Hallelujah. Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It means that darkness does not need to dominate me. Because I have been delivered. If I'm delivered, then I am what? I'm delivered. But if that's all, is that all what God did, then I should still be afraid. Let's go to Colossians 1:13. Well, I may not go to the text, but I'm still talking about life in the spirit. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 You know the Bible says, he said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Because I, Jesus, I have overcome the world. Amen. So when you go to trials and temptations, yeah, don't be overwhelmed. You know that at the end of it, victory will be yours. But not just any victory. The one that will glorify God. Colossians 1:13. Let's read it. Again, let's do a joint reading. Colossians 1:13. Let's read together. Say just, I say, I'm located. It makes all the difference in the world. But I know that I belong to Christ. I am in Him, and He is in me. Hallelujah. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And my job on earth, is to be the fragrance of that kingdom. That's why the Bible says you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. You have something in you that the world does not have. Now your job on earth is to be a channel to release that life of God. Hallelujah. It's where there's decay. It could be in your workplace. It could be in your neighborhood. You are the salt. Yeah? To bring cure, healing, preservation, change, transformation. Amen. Where people are oppressed or depressed, you are called to be the tool of deliverance. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:13, before I forget what I was going to say. Where's the other mic? Colossians 1:13. Let me just dwell on that and then we go to Romans 8. He said he has delivered us from where? The kingdom or the power of darkness. But that's not all he did. He moved us. Everybody say move. He moved us. He moved us now into a new kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 He moved us into a new kingdom. So let me explain what I was saying. God's eternal plan, because there's a time coming that God will stop all the evil. There's a time coming that God will, he will put an end to evil. All evil. There's a time coming that God will bind the devil and put him in the lake of fire. There's a time coming that this world, with all this decay and corruption, will be wiped away. And God will renew it into a new earth. So God's final plan. It's not that we stay up in heaven. God's final plan, Revelation chapter 21, is that heaven will come down to earth. Hallelujah. Heaven we were, it will come down to earth. So our eternal dwelling place is still going to be this earth. Not in its current state, in its renewed state. Hallelujah. And you know what will happen? Let me explain to you. Heaven, the throne of God will come down to her. And God will dwell with his people forever on earth. Hallelujah. Let me take it somewhere to show you that. Go to Matthew 5. I'm sure you're ready before. I need to show you. Now that I've kept deviating and deviating, I will just deviate to the end. Hallelujah. Matthew 5. Let me show you what the Bible said. I know you read it. And I show you in a new light today. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 5. I'll let someone read down. Matthew chapter 5 verse 5. Sister Frida? Wait, give you the mic.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth.
What will they do? They will inherit the earth. Let's read that from King James or New King James. I like New Living Translation, but sometimes I prefer my old, good old King James.
Yes? Anybody have King James or New King James?
Says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can somebody point to your neighbor? Say meek. Hallelujah. You remember what Jesus said? He said, take my yoke upon you, because I am meek and lowly in heart. He said, blessed are the meek, the humble. You know why? They will inherit the earth. You see, for the time being, it may look like the imposters own the earth. Yeah, the politicians, the powerful people of today. Yeah? But if they are not found in Christ, they end up with nothing. Hallelujah. But we, this earth, in its renewed state, is our eternal inheritance. Hallelujah. 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 That is God's plan for you. So you see, the Bible says, makes you understand that if you are in Christ, you have hope in this world. And you have hope for the world to come. Hallelujah. That is your eternal
destiny. You see, that's why I'm not worried about dying. I don't mean like now. I mean like when I'm 100 years old with all the gray hair. Maybe I can't even believe God for no gray hair, you see. Hallelujah. I'm not worried about dying because I understand that in this life, if I'm in Christ, my next life is better than this life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bible says that to live, Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Hallelujah. You can't lose out. You are located. God is on your side. Say to yourself, say, God is on my side because I am in Christ. And if you are in Christ, get in Christ because there's no other way. Hello? There is no other way. I normally preach in this one. I said, if your solution is not in Christ, then you have all men the most miserable. Because there's no other solution. Because any solution that you can get outside of Christ will not last. You can get some solutions. You know, there are fake solutions. You know, there's fake medicine. Hello, any nurse in the house? This church, we have many nurses and they are increasing. Just overnight, we have another nurse coming. You know, they are increasing. So I already understand that, you know. I mean, if I count the nurses in this church right now, I could count 7. Or maybe 5. Are you with me? There is fake medicine. Do you agree with me? And there is genuine medicine. There is fake solution. What is the difference between fake medicine and real medicine? Any nurse in the house? Sister Frida, I saw you smiling, so I was going to ask you. What is the difference between fake medicine and genuine medicine? So if someone is giving fake medicine or they are giving genuine medicine, what's the difference? They may look the same. Same shade, same color, same bottle. But what is the difference? Just wait. We need to record your answer. There
you go. The fake medicine won't work.
Yeah, and what of the real one?
The real one will heal.
You see, the fake medicine may work for a while. It depends on how fake it is. Do you understand? The fake medicine may give you some temporary, you know, pretentious outcome. But it will never deliver the full result. You know why? It cannot. It's fake. Very simple. Outside of Christ, there's no solution that will happen. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time, the Lord is good. So the Lord will have him remind you about who you are. Let's go to Romans 8. You see, because if you know who you are, you are better prepared to be who God wants you to be. You see, if you don't know who you are, you can't even be who God wants you to be. You don't have a starting point. So how can you are not yet on the journey? Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Say to yourself, say, I'm located because I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. That's the best thing that ever happened to you. Amen. Glory to God. I'm a child of God. How reassuring that is in the midst of a crooked generation. I'm a child of God. I'm not just doing the things I'm doing to survive. See what I mean? I'm not just working to earn a salary to pay my bills and then finish the money and then go back, earn more money, earn the salary, pay my bills, you know, finish the money and then go. That's not the purpose of my life. That one is job maintenance. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. It's a means to an end. But that end is greater than the means. Do you understand? I cannot just live based on the means. My end is greater than the means. My end is my purpose. I got to fulfill my purpose. That is the reason for my life. Hallelujah. You see, if I earn the best salary in the world, you know, live in the biggest mansion with the best automobile, go on all the holidays possible, go to the Caribbean cruise, from Caribbean cruise to Italian cruise, from Italian cruise to wherever cruise. Go wherever. I'm just feeding the flesh. Are you with me? I'm just feeding what? The flesh. That is not the purpose of my life. My life's purpose is to glorify God and advance His kingdom. But not just me, because I'm a pastor. It's for every child of God. You are called to advance the kingdom. Say to yourself, say, I'm called. No, no, come on, let's do that again. Say, I'm called to advance the kingdom. Say to yourself, say, I'm a secret agent of the kingdom. Do you understand? God has deployed you on the earth to be salt and light. Amen? Say to yourself, say, God has deployed me as a secret agent on the earth to be salt and light. That is my purpose. You see, when we are in church, we're not in church to fulfill our purpose. We're in church to refresh and reload. Our purpose is out there. Hallelujah. In your workplace, on the street, in the bus. Where else can you be? In the shopping mall, whether for real shopping or window shopping. Hallelujah. Your purpose may be just that one person that you have the opportunity to make a difference. You see, what I find out about God is that because God Himself is the one working these purposes, He will present you opportunities. And don't ever think that God has not presented you opportunities. What happens is that you did not notice them. He will give you opportunities to touch a life. Hallelujah. Your purpose is to be salt and light to those lives. Because for every life you touch, they will go and touch another life and another life. That's how the kingdom of God advances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And while I'm there also, let me emphasize, you know, that if you are working, you are earning money. I woke up today and I was just thinking, I said, the worst thing you can do to yourself, to your finances. Hello, are you with me? Let me tell you the truth. The worst thing you can do to your finances is to earn a salary, yeah, and withhold it from God. You are destroying what? Your finance. You are condemning your finances just to hard work. Only. Are you with me? You know Cain. You know Cain in the Bible. He worked hard, tilling the ground. Yeah? But his sacrifice was not accepted. He worked hard. But he was not accepted. Hello? Bible says by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You understand? It's by faith. Say it's by faith. Say it to yourself, say it's by faith. Hallelujah. That's how you taste the supernatural. It's by faith. Hallelujah. Every step of faith you take opens the door to the supernatural. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when you partner with God, that's faith. Amen. That's faith. You're partnering with God. That means He's my Father God. And I'm His child. We're in partnership together. Hallelujah. That's why it's been a long time I ever prayed to God and say, God, please. I can't pray God, please. Because there is a relationship which is based on the word. Hallelujah. I come to my Father not as a slave, but as a son. In humility. But when I ask my Father, I'm not saying please, because if He has promised me, I can make a demand of it. You see, please is like, oh, well, I don't deserve it. Don't ever start your prayer and say, oh, Father, you know I don't deserve this. No. You have killed that prayer. You have just wasted your time. You go to God according to His word. Amen. If you know that God has provided something for you in His word, go. The Bible says this is the confidence. Say to yourself, say confidence. God loves confident children. Hallelujah. We can continue and say, Father, this is what your word says. I thank you. Because this word is true in my life. And I will not let go until I see it manifest. Hallelujah. God is happy. His head will be swelling. Really? Because Bible makes us understand in Hebrews 11, 6 that without faith, it is impossible. You see that word? You get it? The word is too strong. I cannot ignore it. Get the point? He said without faith is what? Impossible. That means that when you are out of faith, although God loves you and he wants to reach out to you, that unbelief is a barrier that God himself cannot break. But you say, oh, but God is all powerful. Yeah? But remember that God has lifted up his word above his name. Means that God will honor his word. He will not break his word. He is not a lawless God. Hallelujah. He keeps his word. Hallelujah. He keeps his word. That's why he declares the end from the beginning. You know why? Because he keeps his word. His word. Amen. So that, how do you approach God? By faith. Hallelujah. Don't forget this. Cain worked very hard. But it was Abel that got the blessing. How? By faith. Let's open it. Hebrews 11. Let's say we have 5 more minutes to round up. Hebrews 11. I must go to Romans. And because my father got... Oh, can I just say this before we read Hebrews 11? Let me say this. Teach you something about faith. Let me just first open Hebrews. And then I'd say what I want to say about faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Where is it? Okay, so Hebrews 11, what was the verse again? That talked about Abel. Verse 4. Can we read verse 4? Hebrews 11, 4. Let's read together as church. Hallelujah. Amen. You see that? You see the difference between Cain and Abel? Abel was ready to trust God with his life and his best. Amen. That's what it means to live by faith. Living by faith means our goal is not to withhold and run away. Our goal is to draw near and release. Amen. Let me explain that again. Living by faith means you're not trying to withhold and withdraw and, you know. You see, when you're going this way, it's pointing towards you. And when it goes this way, you're moving further away from God. Are you with me? Because you're pointing towards yourself. Withhold. Withdraw. Hold. Or hoard. Faith means drawing. Release. Trust. Do you understand? That's how Abel. God, amen. And that's why Cain did not understand. Because he worked that. He don't understand why will God bless Abel when I work harder than him. Amen. Let me just say something about faith. You see, one of the things that stops your faith from working, it depends on your words. You see, God is a faith God. And so every word that God speaks, he keeps it. Now, when every word you say, you don't keep it, yeah? You are destroying the foundation of your faith. Yeah? So, if people cannot trust you for your word, if your words are not reliable, not dependable, you say something, you do something else, your faith will be kept from working. Because that does not model your Father God. Hallelujah? The only reason why faith works is because God is faithful to his word. Amen? Now, if you want your faith to work, and you want to operate a faith that works all the time, you got to be careful with your words. What you mean to say is what you should say. Don't say what you don't mean. And don't mean what you don't say. Do you understand me? If you say something, keep your word. If you don't mean something, don't commit. Don't be a deceiver. Because that models who? You know what the Bible calls him? You forgot him. The Bible calls Satan the father of lies. That's his job. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Do you understand? We cannot model Satan. We must model after our Father God. Amen. Okay, Romans 8, and we finished that. Romans 8. I'll have someone read now. Romans chapter 8. Let's just read. Let me see how many verses we need to read. Let's just read verse 1 and 2. And I would like to just amplify that and we finish. Romans 8. We're talking about life in the Spirit. Amen. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. So we'd like to read. Who would like to read this one? Sister Ronke. How can I forget you?
Romans 8, verses 1 to 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
Amen.
I know that, you know, we're living in, believe it or not, we're living in the last generation. We're at the end of days. You know one of the signs? There's something we call moral free fall. Morality is now in what? Free fall. Anything goes. In fact, the most popular person is the person that has no fixed principle. Once you are totally flexible, people will like you. Are you with me? If you want to be liked, be totally flexible. You understand? You'll be liked. But if you have a value that you want to stick to, you will face opposition at one point or the other. Hallelujah. Now, that is a problem for you as a Christian. You know why? Because the word of God does not change. Are you with me? So, you are going to face opposition from time to time. Are you with me? But Bible says that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Let me explain. Because sometimes we misunderstand it. You know, we live in an age of, you know, don't judge me and I won't judge you. You know, you have no right to. Yeah, that's true. We live in an age of, well, whatever seems right to me must be right. Yeah? I have my own life. You have your own life. Yeah, I've heard he said on TV, he said, your truth is different from my truth. But truth cannot be different. Truth is fixed. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want to understand the word condemnation. If as a believer you do something wrong, you will feel guilty inside. Let me tell you something. If you do something wrong as a believer and you feel guilty, you should be happy. It shows that you are still alive spiritually. Hello? When you do something wrong and you start feeling guilty, a part of you has died spiritually. Are you with me? You got it? Because you have resisted that thing so much, your conscience is now hardened in that area. Yeah, it is like having a callus on the foot. Yeah? So you will feel that. That's not the condemnation we're talking about. The condemnation we're talking about is this. Because you are in Christ Jesus, you have access to God. You have access to God. Hello? You have access to God. Say to yourself, I have access to God. That's why there's no condemnation. It means that at any time, you can go, no matter where you've been or what you do, you can go into the presence of your Father God and present yourself as you are in humility. He can fix you. Hallelujah. If you go with him in faith and repentance, he will what? He will fix you. You walk out a child of God as you were before. Hallelujah. No condemnation. Let me tell you something. If you don't give up on God, God cannot give up on you. He will not. People may give you up on you, but God cannot give up on you. Hallelujah. You have access into his presence. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says in verse 2? It says, the law of the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Let me explain that. I don't have time to go through, so I will just begin to round up. Let me explain that. Any part of your life that sin is dominating, it is killing something in you spiritually. You know why? The Bible says that the wages of sin is what? Is death. You know, I read Romans 6. He said, if you allow your sinful nature to rule you, you will die. What type of death is he talking about? Physical? Everybody's going to die. That's not what he's saying. Yeah? Whether you allow your sinful nature to rule you or not, you will what? Die physically. So that's not what he's saying. It's a spiritual thing he's talking about. Yeah? You see, anywhere sin dominates, it kills. Anywhere sin dominates, it destroys. That's its nature. Do you understand? Now, but the problem is this. We are Christians. We have a new spirit, but we're living in an old flesh. Say to yourself, my flesh is old. I didn't say you are old. You got me? It's only the flesh that was. It's old. That's where the sinful nation can operate from. Are you with me? But in your spirit, you are new. Say I'm new in my spirit. Say much more. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. So I have the God-given ability to overcome sin and every form of darkness. But let me go back to verse 1. Even in the midst of your struggle, there's no condemnation because you have access to the Father. Amen? You are not excluded. If you are in Christ, you are what? You are not excluded. God never excluded you. Don't exclude yourself. Hello, are you with me? God never excluded you. So do not exclude yourself. Let me round up with one scripture. And then we stop there. You should stop. Yeah, there's a time to what? Stop. I've read Ecclesiastes. He said there's a time to speak. And there's a time to what? Keep quiet. There are times you just need to keep quiet. Practice with my wife many times. I know that once I've talked, I know I'm in trouble. Just keep quiet and see what God will do. Are you with me? There's a time to keep quiet. And there's a time to what? Talk. We pray for wisdom. Not to talk when we need to keep quiet. And not to keep quiet when there's a time you must not keep quiet. There's a time you cannot afford to what? To keep quiet. Somebody's life or your life may be at risk. Somebody's eternal destiny may be at risk. We pray for wisdom to know the difference. Amen? Hebrews chapter 4. Let's round up there. Hebrews 4:18. So my way of explaining Romans 8:1 is to take it to Hebrews chapter 4:18. And we stop there. We just stop and pray. I believe that God is feeding you this morning. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And every time you take up the word, you are energized. Yeah? You are what? Energized. Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, am I in the... Yes, thank you. There's no 18. 16. Okay, let's... Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Before we read that, let me just say something. If you are struggling in any part of your life to do the will of God, you know what you need? Yeah? You need a tonic. Let me say that again. If you are struggling in any part of your life to do the will of God, what you need is what? A spiritual tonic. Let me explain. There is nothing God ever asks you to do that He wants you to do just in your own power. He is the one that gives you what to do. He is also the one that gives you the grace or the enablement to do it. Now, when God asks you to do something and you are unable to do it, it's because you are lacking in that grace or enablement. And where can you reload? Where can you re-energize? Where can you retonic? The word. See, when the word enters, you are empowered to do what you will naturally find impossible to do. Amen. So your struggle in any part of your life is an evidence of the lack of sufficient exposure to the word in that area. Because when the word enters fully and it enters your heart, you will be empowered. Hallelujah. Say, I'm empowered. You know what that word Paul says? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know why God did it like that? So that you can know glory and say, oh, it was just by me. Every time you can look and say, oh, Father God, if not for you. If not for you. Amen. Hebrews 4:16. Let's round up there. Let's read it together. And then I break it down, we round up. Hebrews 4:16. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 8:1. How do we explain that? Hebrews 4:16. Let's read together. Meaning of when he tells you that I am Alpha and I am Omega. I started the good work. I am able to complete it. The only problem is, will you cooperate with me? That's all you need, to cooperate with God or to partner with God. The same word, to cooperate. Now, as you cooperate with God, he who began the good work. Hallelujah. As you cooperate with him, he will empower you with grace. And you will also obtain what? Mercy. That's why there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation because you have access to mercy and grace all the time. He said we should must. How do we come to the throne of God? How do we come to the throne of God? Boldly. You know where the boldness comes from? The boldness comes from our identity as children of God. So I'm a child of God, that's who I am. So I can go to my Father all the time, even when I fumble. And I fumble sometimes. But I know that when I fumble, the first thing to do is what? Go to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Then after obtaining mercy, some people, you know, for all their life, all they want to live is on mercy. Anybody in your life, all you want is mercy. I always tell myself, mercy is the entry point of grace. It's for me. It's not the mount peak. It's not the climax of grace. It's the entry point. When you want to enter grace, you enter through where? Mercy. But that's not God's final plan. God's final plan is that you obtain mercy, then what? You find grace, enablement, so that thing that is punishing you, you can go back and punish it. Amen. Let us pray. I believe that God has fed you this morning. You know, God has given you his word of life. That's it. The word of God is life. The word of God is life. The word of God is life.